Well, hello and welcome to the Sunday Night Supporters Club podcast on the 9th of February 2025. Hope you're well. Hope you've had a great weekend. Certainly been an interesting weekend with weather. I don't know what it's been like where you are, of course, but here, well, rain was not predicted, but we ended up having rain all the time, which really, really did screw up some of our plans. But We done what we could. I'm actually going to head down to the allotment tomorrow to do a little bit more. Just general tidying and clearing away of various things. But back at home, we managed to do quite a bit of work, actually. And one of the things that I have realised is how much compost we need to produce. And I mean that because I've got 4 compost bins for our garden waste and our chicken waste. And I fill all 4 of those up throughout the year. I emptied 2 of those and it filled about 2/3 of one of my beds, which tells me I reckon we would need 3 bins to fill up just one bed. And trying to find enough compost to do that, I don't like buying in compost, and certainly not at the moment. If I can help it, I just want to produce all my own compost. So what I have to do, and what I'm going to be doing moving forward, is that what I usually do is I fill up one compost bin, and when that's full up, I move on to the next. And I probably will continue doing exactly that. What I think I will have to do in the future is that when I filled up all 4 compost bins, I may have to empty all the compost material from the first compost bin and pop that into compost bin number 2. Now, what we usually find is that when we fill up a compost bin, we fill it right up to the top, lots of compost material, which gradually does reduce down in space, leaving a load more space inside the compost bin. We do, of course, turn our compost quite regularly, but I reckon if we did it right, what we could end up with is that the compost from all these compost bins reduces down so much that we can fit them all into one bin. That would be the dream, that would be the plan, and I think it's certainly something we can look at doing in the future. And of course, when compost bin number 1 is then full, we'll do the same with compost 2 into number 3. Of course, any compost that is made, that is ready, we will put into a bucket or something ready to be used. This is the only way I can see that we can be able to produce enough compost. Normally at home, we don't struggle with producing enough compost. We actually do quite well usually. It's just being organised and trying to get that just right that I think we will be able to do it. My compost bins here at home are the Dalek style compost bins, which I'm not a huge fan of. I've got 4 of them and I think they can look a little bit ugly. I'm looking at building some new wooden compost bins, but I built wooden compost bins down on the allotment and I didn't find they lasted that long. And one of the things I hate is when things start to look tatty, especially with wood, and fall apart, it then becomes unsightly and a bit too much work. The good thing about the plastic Dalek style compost bins, they don't rot down. They might break after a long time, but generally speaking they don't break or anything. So that's one of the advantages with these Dalek plastic compost bins. They don't rot down or anything. But I do think they look unsightly. A nice looking compost bin would be ideal, actually, just in the right location if we were lucky enough to have somewhere for a location. Now, one of the other things I want to talk about is the compost material, of course. So we are lucky because we have chickens. So whenever I clean out the chickens, which I try and do on a weekly basis, we take all that chicken manure, the wood shavings and the straw, pop that into a compost bin. Normally, we'd be mowing the lawn as well. So those grass clippings and all everything else would be going into that compost bin as well, which gives us a good mix of brown and greens. And that's ideal because browns are things like cardboard, wood shavings. Greens would be lawn clippings and things like that. And you want equal levels of those and mix them together, and that creates the compost process. Our kitchen waste, things are vegetables and things like that, they all go into my wormeries. I've got 2 wormeries. One is the type that we have 4 trays that stack on top of each other. We fill up a tray And when that's full, we move on to the next one. Actually emptied one of those trays out. We got some good worm compost out of it, something that I'm quite like, and we poured that onto one of the beds as well. Worm compost, of course, being a really good source of nutrients mixed in with normal compost. So we're quite lucky with that. My other worm compost bin is my sub pod, the underground compost system, which is one of my favourites, actually. It doesn't produce the liquid like the stackable wormery. Well, it does. It just we haven't tapped into it, and that might be something we have to do in the future. But the other compost bin we get, the wormery, we get that liquid from. But the good thing I like about the sub pod is that it's hidden, it's underground, and it's not so in your face. And that's one of the reasons I like that compost bin, and it served us well over the years, and it's still going well. We fill that one up with kitchen waste because it's underground, less likely for rodents or anything to get into it. And actually, the capacity of the sub pod is quite large, so I personally think they are great. Unfortunately, they're not sold in the UK anymore. The company actually went bust a few years ago, or last year, I think it was. But then the sub pod is they're coming back, but not in the UK market, which is a great, great shame, because they were what I would call a brilliant composting system. And it's a shame they just didn't take to the UK market that well. Now, something we have done today was sowing our Brussels sprouts. And Brussels sprouts are, you know, they're a must have, especially for Christmas dinner. And I find that when we sow these in February, they will be ready for Christmas, which I think is when most people will grow Brussels sprouts. But we do try and grow Brussels sprouts for right throughout the winter as well. We've got a decent load of Brussels sprouts out in the garden at the moment, which we are enjoying and picking quite a few of. Now, one of the big important things when it comes to Brussels sprouts is the ground where they are to go. They do need really fertile, firm soil to grow successfully. And I recommend that you prepare the bed in advance by just making sure that there's plenty of organic matter added to the bed, giving it, clearing away any weeds, adding a sprinkling of lime as well. I recommend that with any brassica bed, add some lime. And then when we plant out our plants a bit later on, you need to make sure they're firmed in and they have a good stake to grow up as well. My door's opening and it's Roxy coming in. Hello, girl. Now, we sow the seeds in our heated propagators. They don't necessarily need a heated propagator. They just need to be above 10 degrees. And they will germinate quite well at that sort of temperature. As soon as they germinate, which can be quite quickly, 7 to 14 days, we will move them into somewhere where they get plenty of light. Now, these ones are going to be frost tolerant, so they don't need to stay indoors once they are a few weeks old. We do give them a bit of time just to make sure they're strong enough, and then we'll pop them out into our grow house or unheated greenhouse to grow them on. If you haven't got a grow house or unheated greenhouse, cloches or plastic bottles will work just as well. Pop them on, of course, and when, say about 10-15 centimeters tall is when we'll harden them off and get them in. We can actually get these in the ground probably about April if the weather is strong enough. And all I do is I dig a hole about the same size as the root ball, sprinkle in some garden lime, pop in the plant, backfill it and firm it in with the heel of my foot to make sure that ground is firm. And I mean stamp it down, firm that soil. Reason we do that is that the Brussels sprout will grow. I would recommend putting a cane and tying them to a cane as well. But as they grow, if the ground is loose and we get some wind and that Brussels sprout rocks in the wind, that can lead to us getting blown Brussels sprouts. And that's not what we want, of course. We want them to be decent Brussels sprouts. Now, one of the things I would say, leave them to grow. Well, the Brussels sprouts will appear, and it's best to harvest from the bottom up as and when needed, when they're about 2 to 3 centimetres in diameter. But I would say they taste better after a frost. So these will probably be in the ground for quite a while. They'll probably be a 9-month plant from seed to harvest. But I do think they're worth it. I really, really do. Good luck. Let me know how you get on, as always. I'm going to wrap this one up. Back to job hunting tomorrow, as well as many other things. Podcast will be out tomorrow. Got a delicious recipe from Scott, which will be on the website quite soon as well. Right, guys, you take care. Speak to you again next time.